It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to yet another exciting episode of Talk Up Moments. Season 2, I must say, has been an absolute blast. Now, we're switching things up a little bit. My friend from before, my longtime friendship. People don't know how close we used to be. Mm-hmm. Every year, I got a birthday cake from Chef Eros. Every single year. And each cake always got better. And better and bigger. Mm-hmm. And then I remember how you used to just go all out and decorate this cake, and I would always get it November 3rd. Yeah. If I've never said thank you to you, my friend, because those little gestures just made me feel really, really loved. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And now
my
I have you on my couch. Welcome.
I know. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to catch up with you.
I know. You look great.
You look great too. You're not a foreigner.
Well, I'm still a Lagosian.
Because I thought it was a 6 months. I'm going away for six months.
I thought so too.
I'll just be gone for 6 months. I'll be right
so
back.
Too,
and then it's been three years?
2.5 years. 2.5 years. And it flew by so quickly.
And you've done so much.
By the grace of God, you know.
Literally,
the grace of
Nigerian
God and the culture. I have to tell you, the culture was the thing, though.
The culture.
Like, it was not for the culture. We have been sitting back and watching, asking ourselves, what's going on?
I know.
Are we
going to
do this? But the culture really helped, man, because especially when I really embodied the culture myself, you know, a lot of things happened very quickly. And I'll start with the pandemic. The pandemic changed a lot.
I agree.
For me in particular, I've been going, like, people are my friends who have been calling me BC Bologna Chef, BC Bologna Chef, you know. But I never really taken it on seriously. It was just like a nickname, right? And then just before the pandemic, just before my birthday, I went on a trip in February. So my birthday is February the 28th. So 2 weeks before that, I went on a trip and I went to Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah.
But it was an all expenses paid trip. I was going with a brand. Like, it was like really,
because,
like,
you were literally one of the people, I mean, don't mean to cut you short, but in the emergence of this chef culture in Nigeria, you were one of the very first,
absolutely.
Who started to make this thing seem like, because I remember back then you put together all these events and have like gourmet meals, and Nigerians would be like this gourmet thing that when you go, it's like always very tiny.
I know.
And then you guys would not find those fancy names for Eforiro and something. I just call it Rose something. I'm just like, this is Eforiro and this.
Yeah.
You were one of the first people who had that thing where, you know, they just said for your event to be complete, you need a chef. Because people would just have local caterers before.
Correct.
And then there was a culture of, if you want to dine with friends, you can have a private chef come in.
Correct.
And I remember you used to host a lot of that. And then you opened a restaurant
as well.
Correct. You used to invite people. It was such a little space that, you know, it's like, come and try. Every Sunday or something, you used to do something back then.
And it used to be on Fridays. So I would do something on Friday. We call it the Bougie Fridays. And I'll have people come by and they'll do a tasting of the menu. And at that time, I was really using it to practice and to sort of get, because when I started doing gourmet food, as we call it, and I was focused on Nigerian food, right? Mm. It wasn't something that had been done by anyone per se, right? So there was a lot of learning to go into. How do we make Nigerian food internationally recognized? How do we make Nigerian food look the same way you would see food at French Laundry, or, you know, you go to a high-end restaurant and the food looks well-plated, you know, all the elements are deconstructed and each element is celebrated and is shining. Mm. You know, so I had to go through all of that, and you guys didn't realize that you were my scapegoats.
We were. Because then it was like every time we get these messages every weekend, as I said, Friday. And I remember always coming by and the menu used to blow my mind because I'm like, ah, this is egusi. Wow. Yeah. You do it
egusi
in such a way.
Egusi puree. That will give them like, you know, we'll turn the vegetable into some sort of like dehydrated vegetable and put it on top,
yeah,
you know, and just make it look good. But you know, the thing is like my journey started a long, long time ago. A lot of people didn't know this, but I was 21 when I owned my first restaurant. Restaurants in Lagos.
Really?
La Saison, just off Awolowo Road.
Remember
Joko.
That one.
I was 21. Downstairs. Yes, downstairs.
I knew that one. Yeah.
It used to be Cakes by Tosa.
Yeah.
And that was my first intro into the food business. At the time, I was studying international business management in university, and my mother wanted to open a restaurant, so I came back to help her write the business plan and open the restaurant. And I just fell in love with it. Bear in mind, I'd been working in the UK. Mm-hmm. I was studying in school. While I was in school, I was working a lot. So I'd worked as a restaurant. I worked in the restaurants as a waiter. I'd worked as my first job was actually a bartender, you know, and I think that was my introduction to flavors and what you can do to bring several flavors together and create an experience in a glass, you know. And I just really loved hospitality. I loved hosting people. And so from my first restaurant, then into the bakery, Cookie Jar, and then from Cookie Jar into Eros and Gourmet.
That's where I
catering.
Got my cake from every
yes,
year.
Yes. Eros and Gourmet Catering. And then I guess a couple years later, I decided that I wanted to really push Nigerian food forward. And so we opened Ile Eros, which is an authentic Nigerian restaurant with a modern twist. And the space was designed as a house of a well-traveled Nigerian family that's like passionate about like music, arts, and culture. And so we made the space look like you were going into someone's home, you know, literally like someone's home, you know, and it did very well. Still around very much so. So it's what, 5-6 years old now, since 2018, you know. Yeah, but the pandemic really did change a lot for me, you know, because as I was saying, I went on this trip, and before I got on the flight, I thought to myself, this trip is giving billionaire chef stuff, you know? So I changed my name on Instagram from Chef Eros to the billionaire chef. Bear in mind, before that, as Chef Eros, I had requested verification and everyone was getting verified. You were getting verified. I was like, what's my own now? Why am I not getting? At least I won't have, at the time, I probably had like 15,000 followers or something. Yeah. I'm like, so people that won't have less than me, they are verified now. Why Instagram would say there's something, they're not special. There's something that I changed my name on that before I got on the flight to the billionaire chef. I got on the flight, switched my phone off. I got off the flight, switched my phone on, and
you
it was
very
tired. There was no going back.
Power in the tongue.
Yes.
Power
and for me, that was speaking into existence.
Yes.
For those who watched me closely, everything about me changed. Mm. The way I dressed changed. The way I started everything about me changed. Because I had to ask myself, who is a billionaire chef, first of all? First of all, this billionaire chef is African as fuck. Right? Mm. You know, he's a culinary entertainer, you know, and he loves to tell stories. Mm. And he definitely loves his fashion, you know. So I had to put all of those things together and build the personality of a billionaire chef and hence the move.
Wow. I'm so into this Delulu face where everyone's saying you're being delusional. But I've seen people like you, because I remember we used to have so many conversations on WhatsApp, and you were so passionate about not changing how authentic you were and how everything had to tell a story, because you're like a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember all those messages where you'd be like, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then I sat back the other day and I looked and I said, you're actually doing every single thing you said you wanted.
I mean, but that's
do.
What faith is, really and truly. Yeah. If you think about it, faith is really believing in something that is not yet seen, but you also have to really do believe in it. You have to walk in the line. And I always say the thing about names. Names are very powerful. You know why? Because it's the one word that somebody's going to say to you the most. You're going to hear that more than anything else.
Your name.
So if you don't, your name doesn't have a meaning and you don't attach a meaning to it, then you're just wasting the word.
Because many people these days, all these Oyinbos that will just name their children Apple, Oranges.
And now they become Apple and Oranges.
I'm like, me, when I think about when I eventually have a child, I already have a name.
Of course.
Baby, I already have a name. The name came to me one evening, sat on my balcony, and I got the name of my son. I know my son's name.
Yeah.
I know when I pray for my kids, I don't pray, Father Lord, my children. I call my son's name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be like, come to mommy. Like, that child is going to come.
But when a child does come, you'll be surprising how that child will have the characters that you've envisioned. Because you have been imagining it. You have been speaking it into existence. You have been speaking into your existence over and over and again. And the universe is hearing. God is hearing. Do you understand? God is the universe, you know? And that's why they say, oh, positive thoughts, negative thoughts, it's all the same thing. It's like literally your energy that you're putting out. Look at me now. Billionaire chef. Now, it don't happen.
Yeah! Me. So, you know, COVID was a very interesting... I say this to... I was just talking about this like last week, how COVID literally changed the world.
It did.
And prior to COVID, there were signs that there was going to be a change.
Yes.
I remember when I was, you know, still on radio and we'll have these meetings and everyone was talking about going digital and traditional media dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in those meetings, they used to say that in 8 years, traditional media would eventually die. And people would be like, oh no, regardless of this social media thing people are
it's
just a phase. Mm-hmm. Like people will still respect newspapers. I know people that if they don't read newspapers by their breakfast, and I thought, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And COVID happened. And exactly that prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Even now, my mother reads her newspaper on online. Her tablets.
You know what's so weird? It birthed so many careers.
Oh, yes.
COVID was also the point where a lot of people were with time and nothing but time.
To think about what exactly this they wanted to do,
how
they
were going to apply them.
Of course not. Because a lot of people realized then that they were miserable at work.
Yes.
And there were other things that they could do that would bring them joy. And then they realized that
they could earn money. Yes. Yes. The influencer game changed. Before COVID, there were influencers that you knew that, okay, this is what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you have to almost search for them.
Mm-hmm.
After COVID, everybody and their mother and their mother's father and their sister, they're all influencers. In different editors, everyone just became very creative.
Absolutely.
And it's like, these are people that have always had this gift, but they never really tapped into it because they were stuck behind a desk for hours.
Correct.
And even the office culture being back is still not the same.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, because you ask yourself sometimes, why are you working from the office right now when you could literally have saved all that transport money and the traffic and all the frustration and horns and done so much more at home? The one thing, though, is that offices have to create an environment that allows for checks and balances during that whole work from home culture.
Yeah,
because people sometimes don't
just
really
take the mickey.
Just take the mickey.
So let's talk about the move. What made you, because I know we used to talk about it back then, about you wanting to, you know, make this move.
So, and, I mean, I studied international business management. Yeah. I'd always imagined myself working across different borders.
Mm.
It's always been my dream to have businesses across different borders.
Mm.
Now, I found myself in the culinary space, right? And I tagged myself a culinary entertainer. And so what that meant was that I had to use food to entertain people, you know? And then I think in 2016 was when I really started to travel. And I traveled, every time I would travel, I would travel with food. I would host dinners with my friends that would, well, you know how we go as a group. You know, everybody, you know, puts money together. We get a villa, you know, and it's part of the experiences of all the things that we're going to do. One of them is that I'm going to host a dinner, right? And when I do host a dinner, I would create this environment, you know, set the table. I'll play the music. I'll tell the stories. And people really tapped into it. In 2019, I did the exact same thing in Los Angeles where I hosted the dinner for friends and family and everyone absolutely just loved the experience. So when I went back in 2021, after the pandemic was lifted, I went on holiday. This was real time, real holiday. I was literally just going
like
on
I'm
holiday.
Going, I'm just gone for what, 6 months?
It was even 3 months, you know, and then I extended it for an extra 3 months, you know. And during that time, I'd hosted like a few friends over. I'd hosted a few things at my friends' houses. And it was just like, just things to just get people to experience the culture.
I was at a house party in LA and there were like celebrities, like a couple of celebrities that were there. Mm-hmm. And when they found out I was from Nigeria, they said to me, oh, we just attended a culinary or gourmet.
They supposed to come to the private dining room
or whatever.
Hollywood.
Yeah. And they said, this Nigerian guy, and they started talking about your jollof rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I know him. That was a bragging moment for me. Even though I was vexing for you that you didn't invite me because I was in LA.
I didn't know you were in LA.
Boy,
bye. You'd be coming into town and not be hitting me up.
Boy, like.
You're Antiwa. I'm watching you before. There's no people are now going there. And I'd be like, Eros. And I was like, yeah. I'm like.
But at that moment, I branched. I was like, well, that's my boy. And I think, and they were talking about how, you know, the food was so good and, you know, the culture which you touched on.
But the truth is, the food is really good. Nigerian food. I mean, you yourself, when you go outside Nigeria, don't you look for Nigerian food?
We miss Nigerian food. I don't lie.
You'll be looking for Nigerian food, because the food is just that good. Yeah. You know, there's something really soulful about our food. It's very bold.
I think
very
it carries our
flavor.
Culture as well. I'm how proud we are about it.
It does. You know, and so what happened after that was, you know, after the holiday was coming to an end, I really looked at, you know, my career, and I thought to myself, at the time I was trying to open a restaurant in Abuja, you know, and I looked at it and thought to myself, is that really the next best move? I started getting a lot of inquiries, people saying, hey, we want to bring you here. We want to do events with you. And obviously I was a visitor, so I wasn't taking on anything because I'm not breaking any rules, So I got a guy, an organization, my dream big club, Sean Phillips, which walked up to me and said, look, Eros, this thing that you're doing is not a small thing. I don't think you realize how many people want to access the culture, want to access the food, want to learn about it. And the way you're doing it, you're not just telling people to come and eat. Mm. You're using it as a moment. It's like a history lesson. Yeah, yeah. Do you understand? And so we petitioned for what I found out then to be a visa called the O-1 visa. Mm. Aliens of Extraordinary Abilities. I first thought to myself, who came up with this shit? I was like, wait, what?
I mean, I'm looking at you like, what?
What?
I didn't know that was
a real
like
thing.
That.
It's a real visa, you know? And so we found
who are the people who qualify for it? Like creatives?
Creatives, okay. People who are, you know, setting trends, who are trailblazing and have been doing it for time, and there's a track record. Mm. It's not just, oh, I just turned out, I'm not a chef and I can do, I hope to be able to. No, it's not a hope to. Mm. You have to show what you've been able to do. And if you look at my track record from the age of 21 to where I was at the time, I think I was 33 at the time, I'd done so much. At that time, I probably released, 12 different brands, you know, everything from Cookie Jar, even to Puff Puff Boutique, Breakfast at Eros. I just keep popping out different things.
You remember that Breakfast by Errors.
That Breakfast at Errors.
I
did it for 6 months. Yeah, so 6 months, like this, bye.
I get a message from Tolu L in the morning. Says, I'm sending this. I'm trying to do that. I was your guinea pig for all your enterprise.
Pretty much, you know? And so, my lawyer looked at it and figured, you know, this, he looked at it and immediately saw it. It was like, this is a good case. Like, you are definitely an O-1 candidate, right? And so we put all the documents together and applied for it. And in record time, when I say record time, so the first step was you needed to get a verification from the Culinary Federation in America that you're an alien of extraordinary ability. It usually takes 2 weeks. Mm. They put mine in. I remember because I went at Basel in December, the first week of December, they put mine in. In the morning at 8 o'clock, at 1 p.m., my lawyer hit me up saying, your verification just came back. We've never seen anything like that.
Wow.
Right? And so immediately we submitted the petition right after that. And then I got in January, which again was record timing. And right after that, the first thing I needed to do was get a place. And you know, Los Angeles is not a cheap city.
Tell me about it.
You know how much rent is in Los Angeles? Hey. My rent 1 month is somebody's rent 1 year.
As in.
Eh? So I first said to myself, for me to be able to live here, I need to be able to afford it,
yes.
Maintain it. I mean, I have expensive tastes,
yes.
You know? So, but I, you know, I'm always one of those, like, I go big or go home. Again, the billionaire chef,
I think
you know?
That's one of the things we have in common. Yeah, we either do it big or...
All right, there's no point. Yeah. You know, so I started looking for a place. I found a perfect location, a live workspace, which meant that I could actually work and live in the same space.
Mm.
Ah, perfection at its finest. Because even Cookie Jar, if you remember, in 2004, I lived in 2004. Yeah. I lived upstairs and my bakery was downstairs. Same thing. I live upstairs and my dining table is downstairs. So I created what we initially tagged as a pop-up, a private dining room in a chef's living room. It's literally a chef's table, a true chef's table. And we started hosting dinners. We started March the 24th of 2022, which is literally a month and a few days after I'd gotten the space. Quickly picked up, because before I even found the space, I'd already started wish listing.
Yeah.
And all of my wish came true. One by one, whether it's somebody that will give to me or whether I will just get a booking. I remember the Super Bowl was coming up. I got a booking for a guy.
Congratulations about that.
Thanks,
actually.
Man. Thanks. You know, I got a booking from a billionaire. He booked me, paid me enough to actually pay for everything on my wish list. That's how I set up my place in Hollywood. And from the day we opened, I had a friend, I have a friend of mine, David Olushoga, who ended up becoming a partner. He knew the landscape of like the culinary space. So he invited a bunch of people and it took off. In less than a month, Ile LA was listed as Los Angeles's best pop-up restaurant. Right after that, the accolades just kept coming in. And our bookings, you could barely get a seat, right? Yeah. You know, and it was small, 16 people, two seatings. We do a sitting at 5 o'clock where we do 4 courses, and then we do a sitting at 8 o'clock where we do 9 courses or 7 courses, depending on the menu. And each season, the menu changes and the menu is telling different stories. We started off with the back to basics menu, which was literally taking us back to basic Nigerian food. Ewa Goyeng was on the menu. Our gege bread was on the menu. Basically things that you would find on the street. Suya, you know.
And then, for the Nigerians in diaspora who had not had access to this thing.
Yeah, this was definitely blowing their minds.
Because I remember a lot of people used to also do this where they would go with their girlfriends. It was a thing to attend.
Yeah, absolutely. Lele. Absolutely. Like, as a matter of fact, Infatuation listed it as the best place to have a birthday party.
Amazing.
You know, at the time, you know. And then the next year just kept going. 1 year after that, I think in December of 2022, our jollof rice won Infatuation's best dish of 2022. I had gone to the chef conference, the LA chef conference, and 3 weeks before that, Wolfgang Puck, I'm sure everyone knows Wolfgang Puck, he had come to the restaurant, right? The private dining room. And he came in, he took pictures, jumped in the kitchen with me. You know, it was a very fun time. And when I arrived at the conference, my people had bought like front row seats for me. And but I arrived 5 minutes late. Mm. And I typically don't like getting away late. So I was trying to like sneak in from where your seat is first all the way in front. And then I also came looking like this. Mm. So there was almost
There's always like, who's
this guy? Yeah. He was on stage. Wolfgang Puck was on stage. He was hosting a panel. He literally stopped. I was like, my Nigerian friend is here. I tried to sit down. He was like, stand up, say hello to everybody. And then he went on to talk about like the pop-up, his experience, and told everyone to come through. And then obviously the ratings went up again. But then we got invited to open a restaurant. Now, at the time, I didn't want to open a restaurant.
Mm.
And this is because I already have a restaurant I'm running remotely, which is obviously
but
very
how
difficult.
How do you do that? Because I wanted to ask how you keep the restaurants open
The hours. First of all, I've been blessed with an amazing mother.
Yeah.
So my mother took on acting CEO, and she's been acting CEO for over 2 years now. And bear in mind, she's not a young lady. Mm. She's in her early 70s, right? But also with an amazing team. We're over 30 people who work on the team. And then, like I said, COVID taught us a lot.
Mm.
We all learned how to work remotely.
Mm.
The only thing that couldn't happen was that I couldn't physically taste the food to check for quality control. But I had trusted mouths here. Mm. So whenever we would change the menu, and the thing is I had a team that worked with me for so long. One of my chefs has been with me since my first restaurant, 14 years ago. So he knows my language. Mm. When I say I want this and this and this, he knows how to balance that. And this had been, we had perfected it to that point before I left. So I was able to like update the menu remotely. I was able to check on everything remotely. I was able to work with the team remotely. And all I just needed to do was tweak my hours. You know, I work sometimes in the middle of the night. I work sometimes in the day. You know, I just found a balance that works with. But you know, the time difference is 8-9 hours.
LA is a different life.
It's like
you have
the
to
end
almost
of the
forget
world
here. So
sometimes.
You trying to do both is absolutely incredible, my friend.
Listen,
because when
not
you're in
easy
LA, you have to forget Africa. It's almost
trying to
juggle in the
just
same
like,
time zone.
But I couldn't because I had so much invested here. I have so much ties here, you know.
Mm.
I have contracts that I have to deliver to regularly. Cookie Jar, for example, is tied to a lot of financial institutions that we do birthday cakes for. Eros and Gourmet Catering host dinners in some of our billionaires' houses every weekend.
Mm.
So there's no out. Like, you have to continue. They don't care whether Eros has gone to LA.
Yeah.
The food still has to
and
carry
it has to
on.
Taste as good.
Yes. And even when they'll get bored at a point, they're like, listen, tell Eros that we need to update this menu.
I want to ask about the menu because I've always been curious about, you know, chefs and how, you know, I find chefs very fascinating, which is why I wanted to have to sit down with you because I feel like it has a lot to do with handwork coupled with, you know, being creative. So the brain work never dies because one menu is great only for a season.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep on refreshing those menus so that people keep coming back and finding new ways to eat certain things that they're already used to eating.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you literally work your menu updating? And what do you know is going to be a hit? And what do you know is not probably going to bang?
Well,
you had some akara thing as well.
I mean, we've gone through a lot. The first thing for me is identity.
Okay.
Right? I think every artist needs to have an identity, right? I found my identity and I know my items. I know my key ingredients in my kitchen. Like, there are things that are standards. Even if I'm creating any new menu, those things are always going to sneak in there. For example, my zobo reduction is always going to find its way in there. My lemon curd is probably going to find its neck in there. You know, there are little things like that, right? So I have my identity. The next thing is really to choose my path. So for me, my path has been and will always continue to be West African cuisine. Right? Nigerian, because that's what I know the most, right? And that's what I'm preaching the most. And for me, there's a lot to go through, you know, from the east to the west, to the north to the south. And I'm a mix of cultures already. My mom is half Edo, half Calabar. My dad is Yoruba. So before I finish even cooking those three different cuisines, Seth, do you understand? And then it's now really trying, in terms of, for me, I'm lucky. I have a gift. Some people can act, some people can sing. I can cook.
Cook, yeah.
You know, so there's...
When did you discover that? You had
in uni.
Okay.
That was when necessity was the mother of my invention. I needed to cook Nigerian food, and I was in Wolverhampton University, all the way in the West Midlands. There was nobody. I could not find suya, let alone egusi. I had to call my mother, and my mother and my grandmother literally taught me how to cook Nigerian food over the phone. But I caught on very quickly once I understood that it was really a game of ratios, understanding the ingredients that go into it and the ratios and at the timing in which you put in things. But then also my skill grew when I started baking. Because baking taught me consistency, taught me dedication, taught me precision, taught me timing, taught me environment. You know, because you have to be conscious of the environment.
Talking about food. It's like, are we talking about building a bridge? This is just food.
But it literally is. Food is a chemical. Food is literally chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, you don't understand that people, the difference between somebody's cake and another person's cake can literally be the temperature of their egg.
Wow.
Yeah. Can literally be the temperature of the egg. Ain't
you're getting done. Wow. I mean, I don't cook, so all of this is obviously sounding like
lucky for some.
I mean, and I've always worried, would I date someone who can cook? I think you always show off in the kitchen. Like, just
but you don't cook now, so you don't need to.
I still always feel like, what's wrong with this person? And the day I
And there are ways you, that things you will show off in too now.
Exactly.
Right?
The day I now try to do something, like, your egg is not right. There's not the temperature of the egg.
So I've personally had to teach myself not to be that guy. Okay. I never want to be that person who is a party pooper, who is spoiling. You know, if you go to dinner with me, I'll be the last person to complain about
it. Do you go to other restaurants?
Oh, absolutely. I don't cook for myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't cook for myself. That when you finish cooking, you don't even have the appetite to eat the food.
Well, sometimes. Okay. If I'm hungry, I'll eat.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm cooking for us, I will definitely eat. Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm cooking for a group and it's a party, I've gone through a whole day of cooking, I'm probably not going to have the appetite to eat that. I probably want something else. And that's because, you know, the thing about it is our nose smells a lot. Like, we have more taste buds in our nose than we have on our tongue. Our tongue can only taste spicy, salty, sweet, you know, but our nose can taste so much more.
And do you know when I realized that, sorry to cut you short, was when COVID happened to me.
When you didn't have your nose,
the ability to smell.
That you could not
actually take that for granted.
Yeah, we don't.
They gave
me
plantain and it tasted like sawdust. And I realized that the sensor, I couldn't even smell it. Yeah. So I realized what makes me excited to eat is actually me smelling it first before I even taste it. Mm-hmm. So when you walk into a house, you smell the kitchen and you know, this ogbono smells
nice. And then your eyes
is
next to before you taste it. Your eyes is sending signals to your brain and already telling your brain what to expect in terms of taste and texture.
Wow.
Without you even knowing, right? So that's why sometimes some people put things in their mouth and they're pleasantly surprised because they didn't expect it to be taste that good. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it didn't look like that.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And so when you can't, when you smell, like I've been in the kitchen smelling, it's a sense messages to my brain that I'm eating. And especially if I'm constantly drinking water, I'm not hungry. Half the time, you're just filling up your belly, right? And so that's where hunger comes from. Now I'm smelling and I'm drinking water, I feel full. Now when I get out of that space though, give me 1 hour. Hey, that's how I used to put on weight before, was because I was always eating at 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. Now I have my strategy. Before I enter inside the kitchen, Majang, I will eat before I enter inside that kitchen so that I don't need to look for it at 11 o'clock. And then I have my snack afterwards and I know, okay, if I get hungry around 7 o'clock, you know, before next service, I have my snack. Mm. That's how I was able to lose weight.
So let's talk about building this brand, because it's one thing for you to do this just because, you know, I have a hobby for it, right? As a need of necessity, as you said, while you were in university. Mm-hmm. At what point did you know that this was something that you were going to do? And I mean, I know some of the challenges that you've had as well, even in Nigeria, trying to just set this up, and you were trying to do it at a time when people didn't understand what you were trying to do. Mm-hmm. So how did you get past all the, you know, because Nigerians are very interesting people. Now, if they don't understand something, their very first instinct is to hate on it, to put it down, just because they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. It's like they're afraid to open themselves up to the possibility that, you know, there is more to life than all that you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm Nigerian, so this is not me trying to bring our people down. Mm-hmm. For those who are watching outside of Nigeria, this is me just saying what it is. You know what I mean? I grew up also existing in a space where my brand started, because people were like, why is she just so out there? Why is she, you know, instead of embracing the fact that,
exposure is a huge part of that, though. Exposure is a huge part of that. Now you see that Nigerians are changing because of exposure, access to the internet, access to, you know, the global web.
Mm.
You know, they're able to see that there are different, people are different. Do you understand that they're different types?
Are they accepting
types? Now, I think it's
what, in my
so.
Case, I think what it is you do you and the world eventually adjusts.
Yeah, that's accepting.
I think at some point it's like, you know what, we can say what we can say about this girl, she's going nowhere. Then they're now curious as to what exactly is this, because it's a success.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure you had moments where.
Absolutely. I think for me, education played a huge part in it. I studied international business management at the University of Wolverhampton, which is one of the best business schools in the Midlands. And I learned a lot during that process organically, because I come from an entrepreneurial family. You know, my mother has been an entrepreneur her life. My father has also been as well, you know, and I've seen them become very, very successful. And I've also seen them fail, right? So I understand both sides of the spectrum. You know, I've had days, we've had time in our lives when we're flying first class, and we've had time in our life when Mumsy will be like, we might have to take a bus. Do you understand? Where you have gone up and come back down, and then you have to, you know, so I've learned that, right? And so I know that life always comes with its ups and downs, and you have to learn to save for the rainy day. It's like what Noah's Ark was trying to teach us about, like, you know, saving up for the flood.
Essentially, that's what it was.
Yeah, you know, and so for me, I go in, and I think one of the things that also helped for me was reading this book called The Secret. When I was in uni, in my second year, my cousin introduced me to a book called The Secret. If you haven't read it, you should absolutely go and read the book. And it was talking about the law of attraction, right? And it also talks about intentionality. And one of the things that I took from that book was taking the first step and not worrying about the end. Just take the first step. And as you take more steps, you'll gradually start to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
And as you take more steps, that light will get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And then it will just be a whole light, you know? And so I took that into little practices, right? For example, I became the ACS president of my university, and I didn't know how, but I took the first step.
Mm.
And as I took more steps in that direction, it got clearer and got clearer and got clearer. The same thing applied with my business in uni called Chicken Guy.
Mm.
I didn't know how it was going to work, but I took the first step. I put the chicken in the bag, seasoned it, I put it in the bag, and I sold it to the first person. And I took the money from that one and bought two more, and I sold it to two more people. And then I kept growing from that. And I learned those little steps along the way. Now, when I moved back to Nigeria, and my mother, I helped my mother open the restaurant, right? But then she stepped back. She didn't really want to do it. She just wanted to own the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So she did the investment part of it. And I put in my money where my mouth is, because my mother would always say, put your money where your mouth is, you know? And then I also started
you
on running.
You bear the risk.
Yes, exactly. So she, you know, that something's at risk for you, you know? And then also, what they call it, working in the path, you know? At the time, you know, a lot of people didn't understand this, like, 21-year-old guy. But then I had to go around telling people I was 28 so that they can take me seriously.
Mm.
Now, that restaurant failed. In 2.5 years, we had to pack it up and lost everything that we had put in, you know. At that time, you would feel like, you know, it's all over. It's all over. You know?
I remember one of those times where you had this whole meltdown on Twitter. I remember it was at that point when I think the restaurant had failed and you were just sick and tired of it.
Sick and tired of, like, it, of it all, you know, and people were owing me, and that was why it failed, because I had a lot of people, friends would come, they'll buy drinks, they'll pay up, all of that, you know, and, but what I did again was I came back and I came back stronger with Cookie Jar, you know, and again, took one step. I started baking 12 cookies in an oven at a time. Valentine's Day came. I took more orders than I could handle. I took 2 days to deliver some people's cookies. Sorry to those people who got their cookies. Who got their cookies Valentine's, February 16th.
Imagine ordering for Valentine's and it's 2 days later I arrived.
Thank God. Thankfully, some of them were my friends, so they understood. Like, I followed. You know, I was always proactive with, like, telling you, oh, this was happening. And the Nigerian factor will happen. The lights will have, that's the lights having General issues, Victor. All of that. You know, but I was able to take that and invest in the business and, you know, get a bigger oven and then grow it and grow it and grow it. But necessity always ends up being the mother of invention. When I moved out of 1004, no one made me move out of 1004 and ended up getting two locations, one on Admiralty Way and one off Admiralty Way as my production house. I got a red letter, a letter that says, cease and desist. This place is not a place of business. You're not allowed to do this here anymore. It has become, it was okay at the beginning, but now it has become like people are always coming here.
And
security,
your neighbors
my neighbors
be,
are like,
yeah,
security race, yeah, this, that, yeah, that. So I had 2 weeks
to pack out.
Listen, in 2 weeks, Moya, Kaka, I've spoken to everybody. Kaka, I found money. Kaka, we have rented, done this, done that. Done.
And you were done. I love your always ready to do attitude. I feel like in a world where a lot of young people have crazy ideas and crazy, you know, I want to do this,
the,
I want to do
I know
that,
what I always say, the crazier an idea, the better.
I think so.
That,
so.
What you think you should not do, that is what you absolutely should to be do. Doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because guess what? The ones, the people who break the bank are those who are disruptors.
They have the audacity.
You have to have the audacity.
Mm.
At the time when I did what I did when I started in LA, even when I started with Cookie Jar, how many bakeries were open in Cookie Jar? You had Cakes and Cream. You had Cakes by Tosa. You only had the you didn't have young people open.
You had the
now,
yeah.
How many young people have bakeries?
Yeah.
But somebody always has to play that risk game.
Yeah.
The same thing with catering. When I went into catering, I was doing catering the way I was doing it. Nobody, everyone was saying, what are you doing? Garnish. Now, see, open the floodgates for everyone. People who have studied abroad have come back and seen that Shea Errol studied abroad too now. He's living well. That means it's possible for me to live well under food. And yes, food business is absolutely good.
There's so much money in food business. People
you just have to stay
married.
Consistent. Oh. That's the thing about food business. It does not start overnight.
Mm.
You have to put in the work. You have to learn the ropes. And you have to be there to monitor and protect it.
Mm.
Because otherwise... Once it takes as much as one case of food poisoning to lose your integrity.
To be honest, I was going to ask you about that. Like, how do you, quality control and the risk factor factor of people coming to your restaurant? Because I've eaten in certain places and I wouldn't go back there because I've had crazy experiences. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, nah, especially places in Nigeria where they would be quick to say, medium rare, well done. I said, please, when I'm home, it's well done. No? I beg, I can't afford to get food poisoning. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Abroad, you can be like, yeah, medium rare with your steak. I know that at least what you're eating, you can bank on. So how have you been able to sort of check and balance all of that?
I think it all starts with integrity.
Yeah.
It starts with integrity. And I think that's the success of any business, really and truly, is to have integrity. To have integrity, not just for your customers, but also for your employees. Because you're only as good as them. If they're unhappy, it's going to show.
Do you train? Do you get people from...
Everyone that we bring in mostly doesn't know anything about what we're doing. So we have to train. As a matter of fact, I prefer those. I prefer those that don't already have bad habits that they've been taught. You know, I like the fresh off the boat, you know, so I can, it's like, you can see the enthusiasm and you see them learn quickly because, you know, those people, there's so much passion and drive, and especially in the young, you know, Nigerians, you know, they're all trying to do something new, you know, so integrity and then just, and integrity is what now leads into choosing quality over quantity. You know, there were times in my business where, you know, I saw my procurement people looking to choose quantity over quality. And I always told them, this thing is going to backfire.
Mm.
Do you understand? I'd rather we know that this is the quality that we are sticking to. And this is the price that we are paying. People have to pay for it. And the people that can afford it, pay for it. The ones that cannot afford it, they have stronger stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot mix them. Your stomach and the stomach of somebody that's gone, they are two different stomachs.
Yes.
Do you understand? So if I mix the two of you and I give you the quality of the streets,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. And, you know, so we have to choose our battle.
Yeah.
And
I like how you put it as some people have strong stomachs.
Yeah. Because, you know, they will say, ah, don't you know they kill African man? Mm. It's different types of African man.
Mm. What is the wildest, like, event you've had to host, and you know, working on that pressure, because you talk about loads of billionaires who you cater to their private dining and dinners and events, and I know how some of them can be, like, you know, the pressure can be real. Do you have any crazy experiences from either the food was running late, or you know, basically how you handle the pressure on a dinner night?
Let me see if I can think of one in particular. That, hey, yes, so, Munim Khan. It's a matter of fact. It's okay. Let me give you this gist. As a matter of fact, this was my last big dinner before I took the trip to LA.
Are you serious?
So, time he was the Senate president, right? He was hosting a dinner for the ambassador in Abuja, the ambassador of Nigeria to, of America to Nigeria.
Yeah.
I was hired to come and cater this dinner. I had flown in with my vacuum seal. So during the pandemic, I started a brand called Fresh Prep by Eros. Yeah. And what Fresh Prep by Eros allowed me to do was to backwardly integrate my kitchen. So all the things like ginger paste, onion paste, garlic paste, my spices, our marinades, we'll put them in the vacuum seal bags and we'll vacuum seal them, which basically sucks out all the air out of the bags and doesn't allow bacteria to grow. So that way you can travel with it.
Wow.
So we do that, then we freeze it, right? And what you get when you put it in the freezer and when it comes out is exactly the same, intact. So we did that. Put it in suitcases, put ice packs around it. Myself, two of my chefs, and one of my assistants, we flew into Abuja. So food has arrived. We got a friend, a chef friend of mine in Abuja, you know, God rest his soul.
Chef Emeka.
We used this kitchen. We put everything, secured everything. Okay, now event is tomorrow. As we're leaving Lagos, day two, we're leaving Lagos on our van. Our van was leaving Lagos with all the plates. You know me, I do serere. I have wooden bowl. I have wooden box. I have calabash. I have adugon. I have all these things. Pots and pans, everything on the bus. Plantain. I'm not going to be carrying plantain on the flights. Now, things like that. Yam. Yeah, now, they are coming on the way. 6 o'clock. We have landed. We have loaded. Where are you? Ah. Yes, they're on the way, they're on the way, they're on the way. 8 o'clock, where are you? Ah, they said the bus broke down. Oh, they are fixing it. They found somebody, they are fixing it. 10 o'clock, where are you? They said they are just about to pass Benin. 12 o'clock, what's in the accident? Ah, they said the car just fell inside the ditch. I said, what do you mean it just fell inside the ditch? Say it does not understand. The car just did like this. I said, can you bring the car out of the ditch? Say, yes, they're working on it. They worked on it the whole night. They had 3 accidents in one night. Listen, these people did not arrive in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, plates. Well, what are we going to do? Start calling around from a friend of mine who owns an events company in wedding guru, Christine Ogbe, to Chef Emeka. That's all of us running up and down, collecting plates, collecting bowls, collecting spoon, collecting knife, collecting pots, going to the market, go and bring plantain, go and bring yam. Go, hey, they forgot this, so they should go and buy me salt. Ah, it's okay.
Maybe what?
Do you know when my things arrived? We have started serving first course. That's when these people finally arrived. Imagine if we had waited. Just by the front of house didn't know anything that was happening.
Yeah,
but I remember my sis Moji Akinkumi was just like, Tolu, just breathe, just calm down, just pray. God has got you. Never has he ever let you down.
Listen. Abdura and his street.
Mommy. Yeah. I said, Mommy, lift up your heads, oh ye gates. You've been lifted up, your everlasting doors.
You cannot embarrass me.
You cannot embarrass me. The sun never smites me by day, nor the moon by night.
Sure,
what? Listen, That dinner went so well, eh? That
I'm sure they're asking you for your plates.
Yes, like, now, where did you get this one from? I say, if you know. Even God self, I remember the charcuterie board that we had done. The board that we ended up using was better than the board that was coming from Lagos.
From Lagos.
Listen, that's when you know that, eh?
Yeah.
You know, when you have to stay steadfast, you have to stay prayerful. You also have to just keep moving. No matter what the I'm going through something right now. Eh? I cannot really disclose.
Kofile.
Kofile. There are some people are shaking my body. Means I will shake. They are shaking. We are shaking ourselves. We are dragging ourselves.
A child of light cannot be shaky. They can only try.
It's only a setback. Hey. I said it to my friend at that today. I said, the anger that I'm using to go back to LA, this setback is to push forward. It's like being in a swimming pool and being at the corner and using the wall of the swimming pool to push yourself forward.
Yeah.
So that's how that event went through.
I like that you shared that because, you know, I was saying to Timmy Sam 3 days ago that I'm in a very interesting place at the start of the year, and I find myself thanking God now for not answering so many prayers.
You know, sometimes you don't know that you're not ready for something.
You know what I mean? I saw something that just made sense. It says you're asking God for a rose when he wants to give you the garden. And that shit made so much sense in my life because, you know, I remember when I was turning 29 and this year I turned 39. And I remember the excitement that went into 29 was because it was almost like we couldn't wait till we're 30. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we felt like life was truly going to begin. My 20s, I don't really even remember. I felt like 20s was just a rubbish set of years. You're just doing rubbish. Do you understand? So turning 30 was an affirmation that, okay, I am now a young woman. And I remember like going into 29, feeling like, okay, my radio career had started. I practically said in my 30s, was I? Yeah, ending of my 29s. Because I remember I got married January 15th. I never really desired marriage. It was something I said 3 weeks before that, you know what, God, I actually want to marry before I'm 30. Not because I feel like that's the time frame for people that are watching or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just thought, okay, it would be nice for this to happen. And it happened. You know, and then turning 39 this year, I felt accomplished with work. I felt like great with everything I'd been doing. But there was some sort of fear that I think the enemy tried to introduce to me. Mm-hmm. Because you feel like, you see, when from turning 29, you still have many years to make mistakes. You would...
Now when you're turning
39, you're like, they say life truly begins at 40 or more. This solid year you're entering, you have 12 months to have one or two, three things that you think that must happen before 40. And I was just anxious for nothing. Do you know what I mean? Just anxious for nothing. It got so bad that I was just like, you know, Lord, I'm just tired of, you know, just being anxious for these things. And if I tell you that thing called alignment, the way my life has so aligned to his will. These days, I don't worry about anything. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like, as you said, he will always look after his own.
You know, it's really a hard prayer to say, let your will be done.
Damn.
You know why it is such a hard prayer? Because a lot of us we want what we want. We are afraid that what we want is not God's
will. I started feeling like maybe God doesn't give good gifts. I started feeling, you know how you start thinking, you know, you dream it in your mind. You know, I think God can, I don't think that he would go that big. You know, you start to limit him with your own.
Listen, I remember, and now it's funny because you said this and you also used the word rose and the garden. So in 2021, whilst I was still on holiday, I was looking at things that I would like to do while I'm in America. And I saw Coachella and I saw that they normally would have like food at Coachella. So then I started pressing to have a food truck at Coachella. Pressing. I didn't get it. I was upset. Do you know what God did the next year? So that food truck, take it as the rose. Do you know what God gave me the next year? The whole garden. I hosted a dinner at the Rose Garden in Coachella. That's the VIP dining area that's created for the people who have bought the highest grade of ticket at Coachella. Now, what also God did was he embarrassed me. So the Rose Garden the dinners have been going on for years, right? For the first time, the Rose Garden sold out. And we sold out the Rose Garden in 1 week.
Imagine while you were crying about this food truck.
Food truck.
Anyone who is listening, if you are worried about anything, work, and just always remember
food
that
truck,
there's always,
God gave me a 325 people fine dining experience in the Rose Garden.
Amazing. No, he blows my mind these days.
Food truck, I had to even pay to
be there.
This one, they flew me in, gave me all the wristbands, plus my friends, we carried ourselves together, give us accommodation.
It's exactly what I was saying, the anxiety this year. 3 weeks ago, when I look back on how anxious I was at the start of the year and what is happening in my life right now, I just fall on my knees each time and I say, thank you, Lord, for when I was being silly, for when I walked out on you, for when I felt like because you didn't answer this one prayer, you were not good. I am sorry. Mm-hmm. You know what he reminded me of? I said this to Temisa. I said, I remember when I was leaving one situation and I was afraid because I felt, you know, my life was thrown out to the public. Like it was me just literally trying to not die during that period. And I remember one day, stepped out of the shower and I looked to the heavens and I said to God, as long as you're in heaven and as long as you are real, we're now going to have this pact that, Lord, I am stepping out in faith. I would never beg. I would never borrow. I would lend to nations. And you know what reminded me about a couple of weeks ago? I've never had to call anyone to say, I beg,
borrow
the money to the end of the month. It has never happened.
Yeah.
Little things that he hears. I don't even know how to say how he does it, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Every time I'm worried, just as you said about the garden, he just does it in such a way that I'm just like, I knew that was you. So I've learned alignment, you know what I mean, to the will of God. So that prayer of, let your will be done. It's tough, oh.
It's tough.
Ah, because one hand wants to be on the steering wheel. You want to be like, Lord, you're not on this earth. You don't know what I see.
God be telling you, you don't know what... You don't know what I planned for you.
You don't know what I see. But if this doesn't work out, where am I going to go?
Plan for you. He has big, big plans for us.
I'm super duper proud of you. I know how much, you know, you are also very grounded in the word and how much you love God. And I like the fact that you always carry that with you wherever you go. Like, I have the coolest friends. Like, they are amazing at every different field and their craft, but they still are humbled by the love of God. Mm. And I think that's so amazing. Like, even the way you dress these days, I swear, every time I see how you talked about this and you're doing it.
Yeah. You know, it's been so great to be back home for this period of time because, you know, LA is a crazy city.
It is.
If you're strong in LA, you're going to lose yourself. Not joke, seriously. And, you know, I found myself staring farther and farther away from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always excuses as to why I didn't go to church on Sunday.
Mm.
Always excuses as to why I didn't wake up. But we watch online, right? I haven't done that one yet.
I have a different relationship. I have a personal relationship.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm not saying that you have to go to church. But I'm just saying, like, just for me personally, I just felt like, you know, I needed a little more time, you know. And in LA, you're literally just going nonstop. Yeah. Nonstop. It's like moving. And it's not as bad as New York. I don't know. I could never live in New York.
I hate New York.
Oh my God, I can't. It's too much.
I went there recently. It's way too much. Like,
I can do it, but 1 week, 2 weeks max.
Even 1 week, I'm gone. Tired.
It's just too much. So everyone is running.
When
everyone
we were
is
younger, like, we loved it.
Yeah, because you had the energy to be running up and down. Who wants to be entering inside underground?
Especially with this
COVID. Don't worry, go to New York, spend 2 weeks in New York and no use underground. After a while, you're underground, your wallet will underground. New York Uber is rude.
I leave.
Rude.
I know.
What?
I know, it's crazy.
Listen, you spend a whole flight ticket in 1 week and just, you know, Ubers in New York. But anyway, coming back home, aside from just strengthening my relationship with God, I also felt like I needed to put my foot in the soil.
Mm.
Because
you don't want to also be so distant.
No, you don't. Absolutely not. And this is my home.
Yeah.
I need to make that this is my home.
Mm.
I can have houses anywhere in the world, but this
Nigeria
is going to be the center.
Yes.
Like the house here is the main house. Yeah. All the other ones are literally just branches. These are headquarters.
Yes.
And that's the truth. Even my structure of my business is Lagos is our headquarters.
Yeah.
You know, New York is our commercial, corporate office, and LA is our entertainment space.
Mm.
Literally, that's how the business is structured now. You know, but coming home, so this year, you know, I opened the public restaurant in Covington. Carver City, Ile Bistro. And that was a test of concept. Obviously, we couldn't tell anyone it was a test of concept. Right? They won't take it seriously, right? Mm. So we're going into raising funds to open a restaurant that like was could stand in the same space as a Chipotle or Carver, you know, multiple restaurants all over that, right? And we're seeking investment, and even I needed to answer the question of how, you know, how is this going to work? Who would target audience going to be? What would the numbers look like? What would products that would look like? So we had to create the restaurant. So we did Ile Bistro. It was so stressful. You know, just so stressful because I didn't have an operator. So I was doing a lot of things myself. You know, thankfully I had I have a fantastic manager, JG, Jibola Yodele. Great guy who's been able to hold my hands through a lot of, you know, things. My assistant, Anthony, a great guy. Great. When I say great, great guy, you know. You know, even him at one point, just like, you know what, Eros, I can't do this anymore. This bistro is way too much. It's just too much.
It's too stressful.
You know, but we needed to stick it out for 6 months, and we did. And then we put it on pause whilst we now go into, you know, our seed funding round, you know. But the whole year, I struggled to write a new menu. Struggled. Every time I tried to write a menu, there was just not that inspiration coming through. I came back home, and I kid you not, by my second day, I'd written a menu, already.
That's what this place does to you.
In this time that I've been here, I've written four menus. Four menus. Mm. Just something about the energy. The first menu is called I Miss the Chaos. And it's telling the story of, you know, how you can find love, joy, and laughter amidst chaos of Lagos.
And that's what it is living here. We Nigerians are the most incredible people on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. I tell people only Nigerians will make jokes about things that should make us cry.
Yes.
We just can't be put down. Like we find our people, you hear a scorpio, animal eats money. And before the end of the day, there are memes.
You know
about
what I call it?
People are laughing about it. People are like, do you know what I mean? The economy is wiring everybody. Mm-hmm. But even in it,
we're still balling. Can you imagine?
Nigeria.
See the turn up now. See the turn up. Toke punished me last week. Eh? What?
You had a good time.
I did have a good time.
You know, I had a cut on my leg. I didn't know where I got that.
Of course, now the turn up was too much.
One of those nights where you blank out and you can't remember half of the night. We turned up.
Ah, that turn up was serious.
I was in bed all day the next day. I couldn't move.
Oh, man. You know, I say that Nigeria and Lagos in particular is the ugliest, most beautiful city in the world.
I agree. The chaos.
Is the ugliest, most beautiful.
With our spirits, make it beautiful.
Come and see the houses. Enter Banana and tell me that those houses. How many places do you have houses like this in the world?
As in, it's amazing.
You know,
it is.
But I love Cape Town too.
I mean, Cape Town is beautiful. Cape Town is always a vibe. I feel different.
What are your favorite cities in the world?
You know, I tell people my favorite city in the whole world is Paris.
Paris has a vibe, Sean.
I'm
sitting with the culture attaché to dinner tomorrow. We're talking about like how we're going to bring that cross-cultural relationship between Nigeria. Because there aren't any high-end Nigerian restaurants in Paris yet. So we're hoping to be able to do something
You
amazing,
know, there you go.
You know?
I think you should actually tap into that space. Mm-hmm, because Paris is so me. Mm-hmm. I would love Christmas with family. Mm-hmm. But I would always do this for years. From January 2nd till the 8th, I would be in Paris by myself. There's nothing like walking to a cafe and reading a book outside.
Paris is great to do on your own.
On your own. You have so much
inspiration.
It's
the one place that I personally can do on my own. Just on your own.
I don't need.
And you'll just be sitting down. And I love how like the cafes are facing the road. You're sitting there, people watching. It's designed for people watching.
Hours. And you're like with your nice glass of wine, your book, and half the time you're just watching people. I love it.
Yeah.
Apart from Paris, where else do I love? Let me see. You know when you've been around so much that you can't even think. Paris will always be at the top of my list, but where else does it for me that I would say? Cape Town, I like Cape Town.
Yeah. Mine would definitely be Cape Town.
Cape Town is like one of my favorites. Something about Cape Town.
Mm-hmm. I love Los Angeles.
Have you been to Port of Elizabeth?
No,
in
I haven't.
South Africa, you should. It's so European. It gives me like a Spain. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, it's really beautiful. Cape Town for me is one of, I love the houses, as you said.
Yeah.
I just love the vibe. I just love the fact that you can be there and you're like, I'm in Africa. This is incredible. Well, this has been very interesting.
It has been.
I love you. Every time we talk, this is it. This, see how we just started talking about sissies. Mm-hmm. Me and Eros will start from one conversation.
We'll finish it. Please, why did you not get any wine now?
No, because I've had so much alcohol in the last two weeks.
Okay, that's true.
You wanted some wine?
No, I'm just kidding.
Are you sure?
I don't drink.
You should have seen him in the clubs. That's where we have to do this.
Yeah.
And then he wrote to my phone 2 p.m. to that reminder. We're drunk. I'm like, yeah, just write it. And then I woke up. I was like, yeah, okay, to-do list. Let's make that happen. But I'm super duper proud of you.
Thank you.
I know the beginning because our career sort of kicked off at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I know how difficult it was because we were playing in the field where people weren't used to the things we're bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember when a lot of people would owe you money, when people didn't think they would respect the craft of a chef. Because why? Do you know what I mean? And a lot of, you know, companies would exploit you guys and just say, come on, do this, come on, do that. And people just didn't understand why they should respect the chef.
Yeah.
But you've done the work. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone wants to have this huge event. They're thinking, let's just get a chef. Let's just do this with a chef, which is amazing.
And one thing I do want people to realize that chefs are not just about fine dining. Right. So my business, for example, doesn't just do fine dining. We do canapes as well, which are small bites, which is what I guess we call small chops. Mm. Right. And canapes don't just have to be, small chops don't have to be just puff puff and spring rolls and samosas. You know, they can be a whole bunch of other things. Right. And then there's also bowls as well. And we do plated food as well. Like, not everything has to be like the thing that you would expect from a chef, though, is that the quality of what you would get would be very different from someone who's just slapping things together.
Mm. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, Chef Eros on Toque Moment. Guys, I told you this season has been very diverse with our guests. And I love that this was such a wholesome conversation. I wasn't worried because I knew that every time we meet, this is exactly what we do anyway. Mm-hmm. So when next time in LA, I would definitely, but you're coming back for
Christmas again, but I'll be back again in LA in January. But
yeah,
the next year is going to be a lot of traveling for me. Mm-hmm. The truth is the next year is really a lot of traveling. Taking the cuisine around the world, you know, so we're working.
Well, I forget to mention that you're Jennifer Hudson's favorite jollof rice.
that happened on the opening of Ile Bistro, as a matter of fact. It was a very serendipitous moment.
And then you sent jollof rice to her on our show.
Yes.
And she talked about it.
She came as well. She's come a number of times as well, you know, and we celebrate with her. You know, we love Jennifer Hudson. She's amazing. And also shout out to Folake, because Folake is who actually made, you know, Folake? Folake, Bob Hatta Bishola. Have you seen the show? Bob Hatta Bishola.
Yeah.
So Folake is actually the one who made.
Wedding that
she made the connection. Yeah. Mm. You know, big thank you to everyone who has supported us throughout this whole journey. It's definitely been, you know, quite the journey. And there's so much more to look forward to. I know that the people in like Paris are saying, when are you coming? People in London, when are you coming? We're definitely coming. Mm. We just need to, you know, set a lot of things aligned, you know, especially when it comes to being a Nigerian. This is our green passport, just to follow around.
I know, but we're working on it. All right, guys, thank you so much for being a part of this. Make sure you're tuning to the next episode of Toque Moments. Until then, my name has always and will always remain the same. It's Toque Makiwa. Chat with you
thank
later.
You.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.